Blog Talk Radio.
Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we thank you that regardless of what the enemy is trying to do today, that you are glorious, that you are to be glorified, and that all that you do is manifesting your purpose, your plans, and establishing what you have promised in your word. So we thank you for that. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for forgiving me of sin, iniquity, and transgression. I also thank you, Father God, for giving me the strength to forgive others and to understand the power of that forgiveness. Father, I thank and praise you and glorify you, for you have given us an opportunity to be used of you to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your will, to bring forth the harvest, and to prepare the brides for this time and this season within the aspect of these perilous times. So, Father, because of that and that alone, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. We submit to you. We allow the Spirit, the Ruach, to come in and begin to just minister through us and to us as well as others, so that we can know and understand and be more intimate with you, with a relationship that you've called for from the beginning of the creation of time. We thank you for that. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Allen.
Well, thank you, sir. We're going to go ahead and get started now with our Before Torah Study Blessing, which is done by Pastor Dot.
Ruach Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu LaAsot BeDivrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and do a real quick recap of last week so we can continue with the flow of where we're going in this morning's broadcast. The topic I would have given last week was a continuation of the fruit of faith and the shield of faith, or you could call it the fruit of the shield of faith. Now, we're realizing more and more in perilous times how important and how crucial this fruit is. The demonic realm, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, if you will, is not afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, but he is more concerned with and threatened by the fruit of the Spirit. And you may have noticed that we were talking a lot last week as well about the difference or the importance or the preeminence of the fruit of the Spirit over the gifts of the Spirit, and how too often we are so hyper-focused on the gifts. When I say we, talking about Christendom at large and people who profess to believe, there's a focus on the gifts as opposed to the focus on the fruit. And we're wanting to continue to highlight the preeminence of the fruit of the Spirit, and particularly the fruit of faith and the shield of faith. Faith is a very important part of the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God. Even Yeshua said, you know, when he returns, will he find faith in the earth? Now, that's how crucial faith is. He needs to have faith. It's, if you will, it's like a lamp that will illuminate, allow him to search out and find those who are of his. Now, he was referring to the fruit of the Spirit and not the gift, not the manifestational gifts. I'm going to continue to highlight that point. Now, our faith and our relationship to God's word and his promises, this is what Satan's terrified, because when we're rooted and grounded in our relationship with God and with our faith in him, in the word, then he, the enemy, can't really penetrate. The only way the enemy can win is to get to us and get us to have a focus on the wrong thing. So our focus on gifts, again, and not the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he's trying to do, Satan. Now, it is the fruit of the Spirit that destroys the work of the flesh and puts the devil and his devices at bay. So if we consider that the chains or the lock that Satan has on us is those works of the flesh, then his chief opposition is the fruit of the Spirit with faith that destroys the work of the flesh. Now, it is the fruit that becomes that shield of faith. The power of God will manifest in significant ways during this perilous times. That's something we have to remember, something for us to put our hope in and to remind ourselves of. Okay. Now, God manifests in these ways to get our attention. The gifts get us back to the place of wholeness to help us make righteous decisions toward healing and restoration. The fruit is what we all must have. Now, the shield of faith, it not just deflects, it destroys the fiery darts of the enemy. Let me say that again. The shield of faith destroys the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith, which is used in the battlefield, is defensive in posture. Now, even if in the battlefield we have the offense and the defense, but our position, our posture should be in a defensive position, not offensive, because we must remain and have our focus on our commander, who is Yah, the commander of the armies of heaven. Now, with respect to the fighting stance, Daniel is a good example because he did not go after his accusers when they came after them. He put up his shield of faith, and he trusted in Yah for Yah to be the avenger and for Yah to make the decisions. We must become mature in our faith by practicing, building up your most holy faith. And also, we have a reference from last week, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, by reason of use. By utilizing and strengthening your faith, that's how we become more mature. We must use the word of God pertaining to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we must also prepare ourselves in this manner. And this connects to one of our discussions as we continued reading in Revelation chapter 13 and also in 14. But we must prepare ourselves to be patient and enduring, perfecting ourselves as a bride who has made herself ready. And we went to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, to get a very specific verse. And many of you are familiar with this, if you've heard us speak about this before. This is a call for steadfastness and patience, patient endurance. And as we read in the Amplified of this verse, it said we must habitually keep God's commandments and our faith in Jesus, Yeshua, practicing the will of the Father and the Son. Now, we did go and touch a few other scriptures in Revelation. The primary purpose of that was for us to see where we are in the unfolding events that are taking place. And one of the chief things that we're needing to see is that a call for patient endurance, and again, I'll say this last sentence again, we must habitually keep God's commandments and our faith in Yeshua. Rabbi, I'm going to pass it back to you for our discussion today. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. One of the things that I feel very led of the Lord for us to dialogue on and really begin to talk about is the transition of power, the transition of leadership that happened on yesterday. And the reason why I feel led to speak of that is not to be subjective, but to be spiritually objective with what the Father is doing and what the Father is allowing and how that affects us in these perilous times. The passage of scripture that I want you to go to, Pastor Andre, is in Jeremiah 23 in verses 15 through 19. And I want to give a preface before you read that in the King James and in the Amplified. And the preface is in this particular passage, Jeremiah is dealing with false prophets. He's dealing with individuals that are speaking by the anointing and by the diabolical influence of Baal, basically the prophets of Baal. In that, they're speaking about peace, and they're speaking basically even a prophetic word, saying that, you know, peace will come upon you and peace will come upon your people and that things are going to get better and they're going to be more calm as far as the storm that has been brewing. And I understand that each and every one of us, all of us desire to hear a positive, uplifting, affirmative word going forward into the situations that have happened, regardless of which side or you're on as far as the Republican or Democrat or any of the political arena, the civil unrest is very apparent. The fake news and true news that is being called fake news is also very apparent. But now we're in a state where we have a new leadership. And one of the things that the Father really pressed upon me was that don't be deceived in thinking that this is going to cause the peace that God brings. I need to say that again. Don't be deceived in thinking that this is going to bring the peace, the tranquility, the prosperity that God brings. Because there's already a move afoot that is trying to change the canvas, if you will, the texture of the canvas of what the Father was wanting to do or desiring to do in this particular world that we live in. And this that we're about to step into, I feel so strongly about this. And I pray that I'm wrong. I really do. But I feel so strongly that particular phase, okay, is going to be a false peace. There's going to be a manner of speaking. There will be a move afoot that will try to bring rest and bring unity. And all of those are fantastic when they're in the Lord. We all should be walking in a desire to be able to unify in the Lord. But if we begin to try to do it in humanity, if we try to do it according to the aspect of what others may perceive to be humane and not biblically sound, then we run headlong into the judgment of God. I'm expecting, not desiring, but I'm expecting that if we don't find ourselves recalibrating into the righteous aspect of the biblical narrative that God has for us, that what we're going to step into, or what we're going to begin to see, is a tsunami of judgments that are going to begin to come in as a very strong force of the Father trying to let every one of us know that he's not pleased, that that's not what he's desiring, and that we are trusting in, relying in, on the creation as opposed to the Creator. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 23, in verses 15 through 19, we step right into the reprimand that our Heavenly Father has given through Jeremiah to those who have given a false word. And he's judging that word. And he's judging that people. And he's letting them know that he is about to punish. And I so sense that if we don't switch and if we don't turn, that we're going to find from a macro and meso, from a global and from and as a nation, we're going to find the Father begin to flex his judgment upon us in a manner that will tremendously cripple our efforts to try to formulate this false peace and try to make an assumption that everything's fine now, that everything's okay, that now that we have this new leader, that we're going to wash away all of the turmoil and the pain and the financial and economic pressures and distress that we've been feeling. Jeremiah chapter 23, 15 through 19. Pastor Andrew.
All right. Thank you, sir. Here, we're starting with King James. It says this, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, that the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And for the Amplified. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with the bitterness of wormwood, and make them drink the poisonous gall, the water of gall. For from the false prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness and ungodliness have gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the false prophets who prophesy to you. They teach you vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and fill you with vain hopes. They speak a vision of their own minds and not from the mouth of the Lord. They are continually saying to those who despise me and the word of the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks after the stubbornness of his own mind and heart, no evil shall come upon you. Verse 18, for who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who has marked his word, noticing and observing and giving attention to it, and has actually heard it? Last verse, 19. Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, a whirling tempest. It shall whirl and burst upon the heads of the wicked.
So what we're seeing here and what we're understanding is that the Father is angry not just because of the way we listen to the false prophets. He's angry at the false prophets, but it's primarily because we are listening to them, because we are taking their information and calling it God's word, his prophetic voice, his way and his desire to enact and to react to the things that are happening all around us. The Father says, I want you, individual, this is an individual you, this is a micro, this is your personal time with him. I want you to get before me and begin to understand how I do things, what I expect, how I desire to bless you and to bring the peace. My peace is the peace that passes the understanding of what they are saying is peace. This is his desire. This is his heart. And what we need to understand is we're hearing here an angry father, yes, but he's angry for what reason? Because there's a broken heart. Because we have broken his heart by not desiring to submit to his will, his way, and to continue to establish his relationship with us. I know that many of you did not have a voice in the matter of where we are now and how the regimes have changed, and I understand that. But I also understand that the Father is saying now, more so than ever, you, me, us, individually, not corporately, individually, we need to press into hearing his heart, to seek his counsel, to desire what to do in these perilous times. It's going to be a situation, and we need to understand this, to where there's a false mask of security, of calmness, of everything now working out the way it should, that's going to come roughshod over the United States of America. Because they've got to build the trust back. They've got to build the hope back. They've got to build the unity back. And I'm not saying that these are false positives, because they're not. But the way in which it's done is going to be the key for you and I to know if the judgment of God is going to come upon this people in a manner of speaking greater than it's already begun to start. We need to be so close to Him in this time period. We need to be pressing in to hearing, to spending time with. We need to protect that time. Protect that time each day, because that is going to help us, help you, help me, to navigate through all of the diabolical things that the enemy is going to lay wait through these 4 years. The manifestation of evil has within it a leverage that it didn't have before. And it's going to start trying to press against the people of God. It's going to start trying to deceive the people of Yah. And we need to understand that that deception, oftentimes, the deception is so sly, it's so, it masks the evil and the wickedness with the syrup of kindness. And we're unable to see through the kindness that there is that arsenic that will kill, steal, and destroy the relationship first and foremost between you and Yah, between me and Yah. And then, as it has gotten down within the body of your soul, then you start to see the true effects that harm every aspect of your life. Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you to just kind of share your heart pertaining to not the political arena, because we're not pointing fingers at man, per se.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a flesh and blood, back and forth, type of war that Satan would love for us to get involved in. He would love for us to begin to talk about, well, they stole this or they did this and they did that and the other thing. That's not what this is about, nor is that what this program is about. But it's about us making sure that in our micro, we're doing what we should be doing, so that when the judgment comes upon the wicked, that only, like Psalms 91, only with our eyes do we see the judgment that comes upon the wicked, because we are in that ark of safety. We are in Goshen. Pastor Andre.
Amen. Well, first off, I felt the scripture was very poignant from Jeremiah. And this concept of false peace is really concerning, because, first of all, we know that in the perilous times, especially towards the end, that deception becomes so strong that even Yeshua or the Father says he had to intervene lest the very elect be deceived. And so we see this both spiritually and in the manifesting in the natural, this power play for how we can inform or disinform, deceive, and fake news. It happens obviously in the spiritual realm with prophecy as well, prophesying one thing, but yet what really is happening is another. And I think what you said about this idea of humane versus biblically sound, we're going to see it appeal to the flesh. And so that ties back to what we were talking about last week with how we have to have the shield of faith and the fruit of the Spirit in order to sever the works of the flesh so that we are not deceived. But it now is a call for some strong discernment and building up that discernment. Going back to even the Hebrews verse from last week in chapter 5, where it's by reason of use. We have to practice these things so that our skills and so that our discernment will be sharp. But Rabbi, just in conclusion, the scripture, again, was so poignant, because right now we're having to really discern and not be deceived by the emotions of many people as they call for unity and peace. We need to make sure that it is founded and grounded in Yah, in His Word. Rabbi.
Amen, and I totally concur with you on that, because the words are the right words. You know, desire and unity, desire and peace, those are correct. That's what we all should do and all should be trying to endeavor. But we can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it based upon what appeases, because what I'm sensing is there's a spirit of appeasement that now is launching out across the world. And if we succumb to that appeasement, then it's very much like, and I hate to use this analogy in a sense because it's just saddening, but it's very much like the understanding of the coronavirus and the vaccine. When I was studying about the particular vaccine, one of the thoughts that came to me at first was, okay, it's just one vaccine. But the more you study, you realize there are multiple vaccines that need to be administered, not just one, multiple vaccines. So in other words, once you take one, then you're on the road to having to take multiple vaccines. Now, what's the problem in that? Other than what we've talked about before, it reminds me, and it was so vivid in my spirit, man, it reminds me of how the adversary deals with us and begins to try to cause us to maybe not sin in a large capacity, but he begins to set up small compromises, small little white lies, and things that will appease our enticing desires for our own flesh, and says, wouldn't this be better for you and your family if you did this, or if you just allowed this to happen this one time? And it seems like that is something that Satan uses with corporately with everyone. Well, just this one time, and then you can repent, and then you know everything's fine. Everything is not fine in the aspect of where we are right now. Not from the eyes of our Father. Not from our Heavenly Father's aspect. We are past the slippery slope now. We're past the point of no return. I hate to use those terminologies, but that's where we are. We are stepping into the turbulence. And this particular turbulence is going to begin to start a revolt that, if we're not careful, we're going to be on the wrong side of that revolt. We're going to be on the wrong side trying to submit to the will of God and finding that, like what you said, which was so apropos, we're going to find ourselves getting into emotions. And it's these emotions, okay, that will definitely begin to push the buttons, okay? Just as I was saying, emotions, what I heard in the spirit, I'm going to pass it back to you, Pastor Andre, but what I heard in the spirit was emojis. Mm. You know, I just realized that the emojis are designed to touch your emotions. Mm-hmm. That's what they're designed for. So all of these different emojis that you see are designed to, even in getting a little chuckle, you know, which doesn't harm us at times, but it's to appease and to begin to touch the emotional part of you, which is fine, but you still need to keep your spirit of discerner up. You still need to keep your guard up, because although the emoji opens the door, it's the key that opens the door, then what happens after that is, what is the rest of the message? The door's open now, okay? When a door is open, it's extremely hard when individuals are coming through the door to try to close it back. So what is the rest of this message that we're about to receive? We need to be very sober. We need to be very aware and we need to be adamant about standing our spiritual ground. Walk in love, yes, of course, but stand our spiritual ground against wickedness and evil. Pastor Andre.
Wow. I think that is an amazing statement. Stand our ground against, you know, wickedness and evil. But essentially, I looked up the definition of deception just a second ago, and I think it really applies to what we're having to really guard against, in continuation of what you just said. But deception is defined as the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. And this reminds me of the scripture. It says, may you turn not to the left nor to the right, in the sense that you need to follow the straight and narrow. You need to follow the word of God, and you need to follow what he speaks to you in that communion time with him. It's very important. And the deception, again, as we bring up this whole concept of false peace, there has to be a presentation of that emoji, if you will, to allow your emotion to say, you know, oh, yeah, that's what he means by that, when in actuality they actually mean or could mean something else. And again, Rabbi, we're not here to pick and choose sides, because it could happen from either side. But the important thing is we have to remind ourselves, whose side are we on anyway? It's kind of like in the book of Joshua, when Joshua is about to go to Jericho, and he comes upon the angel, and he asks the angel, whose side are you on? And he says, I'm not on either side here. I'm on the Lord's side. And I think that's a place where we're going to have to really get ourselves accustomed to and trained in, so that we quickly discern where Yah is, so that we can be with him. But that was just hit me real hard as I saw that definition of deception.
Oh, amen. And I love that, the clarity that you brought pertaining to that. Because, yeah, like the situation, and we can, you know, speak a little bit more on that particular aspect. With the situation with Joshua, you know, let's be honest. If I'm Joshua and I'm a part of fulfilling the call and I'm in the shoes of a greater man than me, Moses, and now I'm going to take the people of God, take them to the promised land and to win each and every battle that we come up against. It's easy. Pastor Andre, it's easy for me to fall into a false sense of security that I am on God's side, and even worse than that, that God automatically, because he did all this for us, he has to be on our side. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's a dangerous statement. But yeah. It's an assumption. And it's too easy for me or for us to get into a state or an attitude of assuming, because we worship God, because we submit our time, our tithes, and our talent to him, that it's a given that he is on our side, and that he is fighting our battles, and he is doing all these things. Well, if we look around, and I chuckle because it's sad, if we look around and see the climate, the spiritual climate of where we are right now, we can't ever make the mistake of thinking right now that he is on our side and he's doing the things for us. Because the political climate, regardless of where you turn, has such a deception and such a deceit and such a wickedness and such an evil that will try to creep in. It's like the bills that go up to Congress. They get so infiltrated with so many other, you know, appeasing information that the original bill that with the right cause and the right attitude, by the time it gets to where it finally becomes a bill, it doesn't even look the same. It doesn't even act the same. And see, this is where we have to make sure that we protect ourselves and we keep ourselves. Because we have to discern in every conversation and every deliberation, we've got to discern, okay, what is really going on, Father? And we've got to ask the Father. He is wanting us to come to him. It says in that passage that they didn't receive counsel from him. They didn't receive counsel, instruction from me. I'm the creator. And they chose not to receive counsel from me. My hope is that we begin to understand, and that I begin to understand, okay, why is that? Why is it that I would not want to receive counsel from God? And the answer is plain for me, and it is because he doesn't give me the counsel that I want to hear. I'm going to say that again. It's because he doesn't give me the counsel that I want to hear, that I think that I need, that I believe is best for me and for my family and for other loved ones. So basically, I've come to a place, we've come to a place, where our desire to do a thing has been judged by God because of our lack of wanting to fellowship with him and to trust him. So I'm trying to find the answers. I'm trying to weed through all of the muck. But I'm doing it myself, because I don't trust or desire to hear what God has to say. That was one of the worst things about the spirit of Ahab. Spirit of Ahab, he hated to hear certain prophets, like Elisha. He hated when Elisha would come around. And the main reason why was because Elisha never prophesied the things that Ahab wanted to hear, the things that Jezebel wanted to hear. That influence of Jezebel upon upon Ahab so twisted and perverted his mind and his emotions to where his will was diaposing the will of the Father. Whenever the prophetic word starts to manifest through and to, and I'm talking about the prophetic word, I'm talking about the actual word of the Lord and not, the prophetic word or pathetic word of men. But whenever that comes, if it begins to cause you or me to begin to flinch at the word, then we need to check ourselves and say, okay, what is it and how is it that the pure, unadulterated word of God is causing me to buck, to have second thoughts? Yes, it does go into my thought line. It does go into what I allowed myself to begin to chew on. I changed the taste of the appetite of my relationship with God to where God's word doesn't even taste the same. It doesn't do the things that it would normally and has normally done in my life. Now, when that begins to happen, I have to evaluate. I have to go back and say, Father, what is it in me that is beginning to cause me to not desire your word, desire the fellowship, desire the discipline that I once had, the enjoyment of being in your word and communing with you. Help me, deal with me, because that is the area in which it will topple over every foundational manifestation of God's blessing upon me and the relationship with me. This is not just a call to prayer, because there's a lot of calls to prayer, but this is a call to examine whether or not we're in the faith. Praying is important, yes. But whenever you begin to have the symptoms of the sickness, spiritually speaking, then we need to have and go and get a checkup. So we need to begin to go through that examination and checklist within that examination of God, so that he can begin to really point to my our micro and say, yeah, right here, your spiritual immune system has been compromised. And you've been walking and acting like everything's okay, but it's not okay. It is important what I think, and when I say I am the Father, it's important what he thinks. It's important what he says. It's so important to course correct wrong thinking and attitudes and actions. It's vital. And it's going to be vital in this time period. I don't think that there's going to be grace in this. And I know that, gosh, that's so harsh. And I don't mean it to be harsh, but in the spirit realm, I'm sensing that the grace that we once received and had in yesteryear, the Father is tired of it. He is now demanding, and we're going to see more of a spirit of demanding, right thinking, acting, and speaking by the Father. And the way that you realize that is when the disciplines happen quick, decisive, and harsh. When these disciplines in the spirit realm, in the natural, when you start to see them on the horizon, please know and remember this message. And I'm not saying just repent, because that's a daily thing that I know we need to do. I'm saying, recognize. You need to quickly, we need to quickly recognize when the Father's not happy and when he is disciplining. Recognize that so that we can act accordingly. This is going to be a time of quick action. This is going to be a time of restoring our relationship by examining areas where we have missed it individually. This is not time to jump on a corporate bandwagon, because if those individuals that are on or that in that bandwagon have not done introspection, have not actually done in the micro level, then they will also easily pollute you and I into fulfilling whatever agenda the corporate body is trying to propagate. And we need to make sure we protect ourselves from just voting by proxy, so to speak, absentee voting. No. You and we need to be engaged. We need to be engaged in this time, in this season. We need to be present. We need to show up. And we need to allow the counsel of God to begin to let us know and to reveal to us what actually is happening from this point on. The peace that is going to be projected from this point on, we need to evaluate what that peace means to you, to me, individually, to our families. And we need to know what we're checking the block on. We cannot check the block haphazardly without actually doing our due diligence. We need to make sure and be very, very aware of the facts, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, and even financially. In our particular area, Pastor Andre, you're aware of this. In our particular area, there is a gold rush for real estate. And I can only imagine that the gold rush was very similar to this, to where the prices for gold, once it was found, would just shoot up. And the anxiety that individuals would face would also escalate. And the prices of real estate, at least in our area, has skyrocketed. Now, is there a cost to that? Of course there is. Is there a downside to that? Of course there is. We're in a situation where they're doing and they're providing a mortgage payment relief. Well, this mortgage payment relief will cause a person to fall into a false sense of security pertaining to whether or not they would lose their home or not. But there will come a time when, because of so much debt and so much unrest and everything else, that we will be in a situation to where we'll lose those things that the Father had provided for us to have and to maintain. And I see this spiritually as well. I was wondering if you could speak on that before we transition, Pastor Andre.
Yes, and one of the things that that strikes me about what we were just talking about is this, the gold rush as far as this things changing so quickly. And what happened, actually it kind of brought me into a different frame of mind, if you will. But what I see is that we need to be very discerning of the value of what we have and what we are investing our time in. Because we need to make sure that the things that are being put, or the efforts that are being put in, are receiving the returns that we desire. And that all goes back to discussion of the sermon as well. And what I see is that as we go into this season, we're going to quickly begin to see what we call impact indicators, letting us know, okay, this is where I need to be putting my time and my effort. And right now, there couldn't be a better investment or better purpose than other than getting before the face of God and really building up that hearing and that sense of understanding from Him. It is a tool that is going to be much needed. And if we go back just over the course of weeks of what we talked about, we've talked about how important fasting and prayer is. We've talked about the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about, in part, even the armor of God. These are investments, if you will, that are going to increase exponentially in value. And it's time for us to really put our efforts into applying the things that you've heard on this broadcast in ways you've never done before. So, Rabbi, there's one other statement you made not long ago. It says, it's a call to examine. And right now we have to examine to see if we are, I'll change it a little bit, to see if we are faithful. We have to examine that right now. And the other thing you said just a moment ago, it's a time for quick action. And if you're talking about, you know, how quickly things change as far as evaluation, it's the quick action that benefits oftentimes from that reward. But, Rabbi, because I kind of was off on a different train of thought, I want to bring it back to and just pass it back to you to conclude that part. But I just wanted to share those two thoughts.
No, that was spot on, just so that you know. So where are we, and where do we go from here? First and foremost, we need to understand that there's going to be a spirit of reconciliation that's going to affect the Mezzo is going to affect the United States. And rightfully it should be, because of the severing effect, the polarizing effect of what has transpired from November with the election all the way to where we are right now. It's imperative that we don't get caught up in the debate about who's right and who's not right. We are here now. We are dealing with the regime that's in place now, and we need to ensure that our relationship with God is the most concrete relationship that we can have, and just continue to better ourselves in that. Not hold grudges or point the finger. This is not the time to point the finger, because it's the Father who is the one who is going to deal with any vengeance. And we understand that, but we have to walk in it. We can't just say the word, but yet in our heart we harbor bitterness, resentment. These types of things are our enemy. These are the disembodied spirits that we've talked about in our congregation. These are the enemy. Whether the individual wants to capitulate with the enemy, that's their choice. They literally have the right to be wicked, to be evil, and to sin. When Yeshua died on the cross, he died, and it's so interesting when I read this. It's a very familiar passage, very familiar. And Pastor Andre, I'd love for you to go there for us. John sure. chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It is so familiar. That's one of the passages as a believer, as a New Testament believer, that I was taught to read and to memorize. But one of the things that's important that you understand, we understand, is that it doesn't say that you should or that you will. It says that you might. It says, literally says, that you might be saved. So it literally gives you the choice. It places it back in your hands, in my hands, as to how I'm going to interact with all of that. It deals with that very thing. But can you read that for us, Pastor Andre, in the King James? And
absolutely. Absolutely. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was King James. Now we're going to amplify. John 3:16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, God's purpose, his plan for my life, is on the table. But then he doesn't make me do it. Gives me a choice. And that choice is yours today on this broadcast. From this day forward, you have a choice as to how you're going to interface with the tremendous, subtle challenges that will continue to ramp up during this presidential race. You will see it firsthand, and you have a choice. The choice is never in God's will for us to be combative. The choice is for us to be decisive in our decisions and walk in the fullness of his purpose with meekness don't fall prey to the deception of the evil one, who is our enemy. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. And God will sort out the right from the wrong. So we must make sure that we are submitted to Him daily. This is not our home. This is not our end destination. And we need to assure ourselves that that is and should be the main purpose for our existence here, is to fulfill His will, knowing that there is an eternity, there is a final destination, that there is a place where I will be with Him forever. This is not that. Pastor Andre, if you could close us out. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi, for those words. And just in small recap, we covered Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 15 through 19 today as our key scripture. And it was a call for us to be discerning, especially when we put our trust in the word that is given to us from so-called prophets or those proclaiming. But we need to trust in the name of our God and in His mighty word. Thank you for listening today. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is a ministry from Beth Hashem, Congregation Beth Hashem in Durham, North Carolina. And we just want to thank you for joining us today and listening to These Be Perilous Times. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true. Now, I say this every week, but the truth of it is, I pray that you all, if the Holy Spirit is showing you things that have been spoken today, that you take heed and listen and to continue to be steadfast and perseverant in them. If you have any questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, you can feel free to do so by emailing us at office@bethhashem.org. And if you'd like to find out more about us, you can visit our website, which is also bethhashem.org, and that's BethHashem.org. You can find out more about us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, and that's all one word, lowercase. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. It's actually a dual degree program, and you can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Now, if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can contribute via Cash App. We have an account with them, so you can go to cash.app/$BethHashem. And you can actually make a very easy, there's no penalties, there's no fees, and that can go straight to this ministry from your phone. Or you can mail in your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And we want to thank for those of you who have been praying and giving to this ministry and supporting it. We say thank you. And at this time, we want to close off the study today with our After Torah study blessing, which is given by Pastor Doug. So we'll go ahead and pass it to this.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chayei olam natah bikokeinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen and amen. Now at this time, we're going to go ahead and recite the Ivana benediction. I'll sing it in Hebrew and then recite it in English for you. And then Rabbi graciously closes our broadcast in prayer. But at this time, this blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6, and it starts with verse 24 through 26. And also the last verse is 27, explains the blessing again. So I'm going to go ahead and sing this in Hebrew first, and then in English. I'll recite it. Yivarecha Yehuah Ve'yishmerecha Yair Yehuah Panavelecha Vichunecha Yisa Yehuah Panavelecha Ve'yasem Lecha Shalom. May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yehuah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yehuah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yehoshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for the new vision with a new leadership. We placing within your hands and within your capable protection for us, not knowing what is going to be laid out from here on in, but we know that if we are in your spiritual bubble, if we are in your homeostasis, your homocomb, if we are submitted to your word and we are protected by every step and every aspect of what we do, then it matters not who is in charge in the natural. You remain in charge in the spiritual. So, Father, we submit to that, not just now. We submit to that daily. We press into the mark of a high call of you in Christ Yeshua. We submit to that, and we ask your spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, to begin to speak to us, to begin to guide us, to begin to instruct us, to begin to let us know way ahead of time what will try to befall us if we take that road versus this road, if we adjust this or that. Father, we desire to be totally led, and we promise to submit ourselves to the words that you say, that we don't buck against your words and try to do it our own way. That is our prayer, Father. That is our desire. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.